Buenas tardes. Empezamos con un poquito de retraso, así que no me voy a extender mucho. Muchísimas gracias a todos por su asistencia hoy a este diálogo conferencia sobre la presencia judía en las brigadas internacionales. Me gustaría, en primer lugar, dar la bienvenida muy particularmente a la embajadora de Serbia en Madrid, que está aquí con nosotros hoy, y a su ministra consejera. Muchísimas gracias. Quiero también expresar, una vez más, porque lo hacemos a menudo, nuestro agradecimiento a nuestra querida amiga Almudena Cruz Yavar y a la Secretaría de Estado de Memoria Democrática, que representa hoy aquí, por haber hecho posible esta conferencia y por haber hecho posible la exposición sobre brigadistas judíos que hemos tenido en nuestras salas la primera mitad del año. Además, quiero agradecer a Nikola Milosevski, perdón, sabía que ocurriría. I'm sorry about that. Quiero agradecer por haber venido desde Belgrado. Thank you very much, Nikola, for coming all the way from Belgrade. We really appreciate your effort, and it's important for us to that you are able to share your fantastic job with us. Thank you very much. Y finalmente quiero agradecerles a todos ustedes su presencia aquí, nuestro público, y también los que nos seguirán más adelante online. La conferencia, el diálogo que vamos a tener hoy aquí, es un diálogo que se incardina en un ciclo más amplio, un ciclo que dedicamos en los primeros meses del año a la presencia de los judíos en las brigadas internacionales, un tema que no es particularmente conocido por el gran público español y que nos pareció interesante para dar visibilidad. Y se organizó en torno a una exposición Por vuestra libertad y la nuestra, judíos en las brigadas internacionales, que se inauguró gracias al apoyo de la Secretaría de Estado de Memoria Democrática el pasado mes de diciembre y que permaneció en nuestras salas 6 meses con una gran afluencia de público y con un gran reflejo en los medios de comunicación. Posteriormente, la exposición ha itinerado y se acaba de inaugurar precisamente en Belgrado, gracias al trabajo liderado por Almudena y por Nikola, que han llevado a cabo una cooperación modélica entre instituciones de 2 países europeos y amigos. De modo que hoy el diálogo que retomamos con esta conversación es un diálogo que da seguimiento a este ciclo al que me he referido anteriormente y que ha tenido otros actos, especialmente la exposición, y que, como digo, aspiró a visibilizar el papel de aquellos judíos llegados de todas partes del mundo a la Guerra Civil Española. En este diálogo contamos con Almudena Cruz Yavar, que es subdirectora general de difusión de la memoria dentro de la Secretaría de Estado de Memoria Democrática y que además fue la comisaria de la exposición, con lo cual básicamente nadie sabe más que ella sobre la misma, y Nikola Milosevski, que es el director ejecutivo del Museo de Víctimas del Genocidio de Belgrado y que además, como he señalado, ha coordinado su llegada a dicha ciudad. De modo que les dejo con los dos, que con una mirada rigurosa y bien fundamentada estoy seguro que nos seguirán ilustrando sobre el porqué y el porqué tantos judíos de diversos países se incorporaron al esfuerzo antifascista en España y qué significado simbólico y político tuvo su presencia en aquella contienda internacional. Muchas gracias.
Pues nada, yo igualmente agradezco a la señora embajadora que haya venido a acompañarnos esta tarde. Muchas gracias, director, y sobre todo muchas gracias a todos ustedes por venir. Gracias a Nikola también, porque efectivamente ha venido a Belgrado, aunque yo la verdad no creo que esté tan mal, ni tan mal aquí en Madrid, ¿no? Bueno, pues para empezar me gustaría preguntarte, Nikola, voy a cambiar al inglés, ¿vale?, para hablar con él más directamente. So first of all, I want to ask you how, because it's true that the first thing that I wanted to do is just take the exhibition here from Madrid and just put it in Belgrade and that's it. And then we met and we were talking about it and he offered me to make it like just for the Yugoslavian, because it was really interesting to focus on them. But I'm still wondering what came through your mind, what did you think, it was easy for you when you decided to help us with this or not? Just tell us a bit about it.
Yes, it was very difficult to do that in such a short amount of time. This book is like, I was doing this book in around 3 months. Yes, it started, like Almudena said, like simple exhibition. Place in Cervantes Institute in Belgrade is very small. Probably like this one, yes. So I have a lot of experience from work in my museum, and I knew that there is no more materials to show. So I just started to think what I can do. Of course, small catalog, maybe 50 pages, maybe a little bit more, but nothing more than that. And of course, historians always starting with groundwork. I started to collect literature. I start to ask my friends in archives in Serbia about historical sources that is presented in their archives. But when I realized, probably after 2 weeks, that is like a lot of materials that I cannot like set aside and pick just highlights. I told to Almudena it should be book. Of course, it was not easy to do that in 3 months. I was working for like 16 hours per day. Whenever I am not on work or sleeping for 4 hours, I was working. Firstly, in archives. Secondly, I started to collect all the books that are in our libraries. And of course, with help of our friends from Spain, I get very important historical sources from your archives. Because the sources from Serbian archives are very rich, but there was like a little bit shadows to some parts of some brigades that participated here. But with the help of our friends from Spain, I get like lightning on that part, and at the end we finish with this book, about 300 pages of pure history.
Thank you very much. I can. I have been witnesses, and it's true, even if you don't believe it. So, what I find very interesting about your book is that, I'm dealing with Spanish War all the time, but it has a different approach, and I think it makes it different from other books that I have read about it. Can you tell us why is it so, or at least why do I have that feeling?
Yes, different approach. Maybe people from Spain will not understand immediately. There is difference between Serbia, like ex-Yugoslavia country, and Spain. While Spain was progressing from Franco time to nowadays, in memoria about Spanish War, about Spanish Republic and Interbrigadist. After fall of Yugoslavia, in our country start downfall of memory about Yugoslavian Interbrigadist. Of course, one of the main reasons were like because Interbrigadist died. Most of them died during 70s, and part of them died in 1980s and 1990s. So basically, only thing that lasts is their sons and daughters, granddaughters. And there was like a couple of decades of space between their death and the start of Serbian historians to be interested about this theme. Nowadays, our historians are very interested in this theme. There was one major conference that assembled historians that are dealing with this theme, and I think it was 2023, and they made one big book about Yugoslavian interbrigadists that participated in Spanish War. This book was my groundwork for my research. I use it very much, and you can see it by bibliography. And one of my most important tasks, except of course show biographies of these 40 people, was to get closer between Serbian historians and Spanish historians, to get closer between Spanish common people and Serbian common people, just to make a bridge, because in next year we will it will be anniversary 90 years of starting of Spanish War and 90 years of forming of international brigades. So this is like one initiative, this book is one initiative for us to collaborate it and to preserve memoria on of Yugoslavian interbrigadists in Spain.
So when I was making here the exhibition, I was really opening the eyes to many people here who didn't know that even that so many Jews were coming here to fight. In your case, why was it important to focus on them? This is my first question. And second, I'm pretty sure it was not that easy to research on them, because most of them, with some exceptions of course, and you can tell us about them, they were, as you were saying, like nowadays common people, they were common people of that time. So probably it was not that easy to get like by all the biographies that you get. Just tell us about it.
Of course, I must be honest. First thing, it is easier to do like 40 biographies in 3 months than to do like 200 biographies. So this is one of important reasons why we are choosing Jews. But there is two other important reasons. While dealing with, of course, Holocaust in Second World War, of course, that I knew the Jewish population in Yugoslavia was very important. They were building Yugoslavia between First and Second World War. Like, all of them were highly educated. And I knew that I will find the same thing in these 40 biographies. And you will see, while reading this, like, all of them were highly educated people. Most of them were like high degree or students, and students who left their studies because of Spanish War. They were idealists. They came to Spain not because they have some materialistic reason to came here. To be honest, most of the people from that time in Yugoslavia didn't know anything about Spain, because Spain and Yugoslavia didn't have like some rich diplomatic relationship between that. Spain didn't participate in First World War. Serbia was one of the most important participants in First World War. So we didn't have like much thing in common. And probably, beside the Sephards who were expelled from Spain in 1492 and Spanish War, there is no common ground. So most of them didn't know many things about Spain. I must tell something. One of them admitted after the war that he came to Spain because he heard that women in Spain are very pretty. Yes,
that's true.
But this is not like very common. They come because of ideals. Most of them, big parts of them, were communists. It is true. But still, they didn't know anything about Marx and Engels. They didn't know many things about Lenin and Stalin. They were just leftists. and they were just for freedom of other countries from solidarity and for internationalism, and these reasons was like biggest one to came to Spain. Just think about that. Around 10,000 people from Yugoslavia wanted to come to Spain, but only, of course, 2,000 succeeded in that. And by that, Yugoslavia was seventh country in the world by number of participants from in Spanish War.
There are two things that caught my mind when I was reading this. Maybe you can comment on them. First of all, that there are so many women between among them. You know that there are like from 40, there are nine women. So it's first of all that there are women. It's already something. But you know, so many. First of all, and second, you were telling that more wanted to come, but they didn't succeed. What happened during the way? Why didn't they? Can you just?
Yes. First question, of course. Nine women from this contingent of 40 people. I must tell that probably there were more of Jewish people who participated from Yugoslavia, but like I'm a historian and I cannot put someone on the list because he has just Jewish name or surname. I must do historical work. If I find firm confirmation that he is Jew, I can put it. But if I cannot find it, I cannot. So probably there is more. Maybe, I don't know, 60, maybe 70. But I cannot do it before confirmation. And Almudena tells us good that it is very difficult for some people to find any information. For example, there is one guy, Friedman. We don't know anything about him, just that his name is Friedman and that he came to Spain and died, and that's it. But of course, I listed him. We know many things about Jews who survived Spanish War and after Second World War, who survived. They became like very important figures in politics of Yugoslavia, and their biographies are huge. So there is like distortion between very, very popular people and this guy who are like just one line in the book. And second thing that is very important, There is difficulties of researching some of them because they are using fake names during the war. It is important thing because Kingdom of Yugoslavia that was before socialistic Yugoslavia, before between First and Second World War, at the start of Spanish War they were neutral. But during the years, they started to be more on Franco side. Not exactly, they didn't send any weapons or something like that, but they started to make some difficulties for people from Yugoslavia to come to Spain. And there is one important reason. Kingdom of Yugoslavia has many problems during its time. Of course, many of our neighbors were against us, and we had many problems with Ustasha from Croatia, VMRO from Bulgaria, and communists. One of the most important enemies of Kingdom of Yugoslavia were communists. So basically, they forbidden for people to go to Spain, because they knew that communists are coming to Spain and after Spain they will return to Yugoslavia and they will possess important war knowledge. So they stopped this, it was forbidden, and the police took measures against them. And most of the people who survived Spanish War cannot return to Yugoslavia, including 31 person from this book.
Nicola, one thing that admire, and obviously it's not only in you, probably it's the your ambassador was telling us before, it's the educational system and the university system, that I know by you that it's very hard and that it's very challenging, is and that's really, I love that you made that. You made like an analysis, like really scientifically, about all the characters of everyone. I remember he was like telling me at the beginning that he was making just where they were born, where they came, what was the path to Spain, and then what did they do after it, if they were still in World War II, where they died, where... So many, I think it was like 20 categories or something like that. I was like, wow. So it's obviously from your, you get that in university, that, and of course I'm an art historian, it's not the same, but I can tell you we are not that rigorous in these things. And I remember you were like a bit neglecting me when I was telling you, you made such a big effort, why are you not putting in the exhibition the main characteristics of them, and you hate that, but you know how stubborn I can be, so much as you are, and I will ask you again, what are like the main characteristics of all of them?
Yes, first and most important thing is, if you survive first year of history in University of Belgrade, you will become a historian, if you survive first year. If you don't survive, it is okay. But if you survive, you will become. Other 3 years, it is easy. But first year is like cutting head. Yes. And we learned, of course, it is okay to make biographies of some people. But if you have like 40 people, you can make analysis of this contingent. What is common for all of them? So I started, as Amudena said, categories from year of the birth, place of the birth, who were there by education, who were they by the job, their ideology, when they came to Spain, did they die in Spain, did they get wounded in Spain, in which part of the military they were, which battles, which job they do in Spain, when they go to, were they going to France or Germany lagers, or they came to Spain, to Yugoslavia, did they survive Second World War, what they became after the war. So basically, it is at the end of analysis, is at the end of biographies, and important things that I can highlight from this analysis is that they were very young. Most of them were like in their 20s. Other important thing, highly educated. Other thing is very important, no one of them died in Holocaust. Who died in Second World War died with the gun in their hands. So they had like a very bad experience from Spain. They were fighting for years here, and at the end they lost. But they didn't like just go home and just suffer in silence. When the Second World War in Yugoslavia started, they participated heavily, and it is sad, but interesting information that they died like more in Second World War than in Spain. So at the end, like 10 people survived. One part of them went to Israel, other part to other countries, and like five of them stayed in Yugoslavia. And from this part, all of them became very important persons. Part of them in military, part of them in media, but still they became like celebrities in this part of Yugoslavia. To be Spanish fighter in Yugoslavia means that you are like in Communist Party for its beginning. So it was very important. They have all the privileges until 1980s. After 1980s, started the decline of this memorial, as I said, and we will talk about what is the rest.
Staying still with the 40 Jews you found, that, by the way, if I haven't said yet, it's amazing that you were like even finding them, all of them, and you made its biographies. I have my favorite. Which one is yours, or which one will you highlight from them?
Okay. Let's hear yours first.
No, mine is Theodor Balk. But
Theodor Balk, yes. Mine is Samuel Lehrer. This guy just gets really close to my heart, because this guy was, of course, he was surviving Second World War, becoming a general in Yugoslavian army. He was writing a couple of texts about his Spanish experience, and I included it in the book, not whole, but important parts. And it is a good story about how someone who came from like a very poor background get through the struggle with 10 years of danger in his life and became a very important person, per aspera ad astra. He was from a very poor family. He was one of the 9 children. So basically, he was starting to go to work from his teenage years. He didn't have opportunities to go to school, but he managed to finish high school and to work. And of course, like many Jews from Yugoslavia in 1930s, started to go to the left side, to be left. And when Spanish war started, he got to Paris with the help of Communist Party. But in his first text about how he came from Zagreb in modern Croatia to Paris, he just writes that they made it like a very, very poor fake passport, and he was all afraid that Germans will arrest him. He was in the train with one Serbian guy who looked like a Jew. And Samuel, who is like pure Jew, Sephard from one side, from other side, and Ashkenazi from father side, was looking like Hollywood actor. And when Gestapo came, they started to harassing his neighbor, but not Samuel. And by harassing his neighbor, he managed to get out with the fake passport. He came to Paris, from Paris to Spania, and he became a gunman, machine gun. So he was fighting around Spain, especially in Aragon. Probably you know better than me about Aragon, but I will just remind you, it was, from Samuel's perspective, it was just staying in some position, fighting, and when they make maneuvers from the sides, you must retreat, and they did that for like a couple of months, every day. So one of his friends was retreating, but he forgot that Communist Party book is he left in the bunker, so he came back and they killed him. So it was this kind of ideals. Someone will say fanatics, of course. And at the end, Samuel managed to go to France. He went to first to the French lagers. But listen this, when Hitler attacks Yugoslavia, Yugoslavia was fallen for 2 weeks. And when they realized in France that Yugoslavia is fallen and they must go to Yugoslavia to fight, they decided to go to Germany, to Hitler, to work in German work lagers, so they can easier flee from Germany or than France in Yugoslavia. And they managed to do that. They just think about this kind of fanatics. They are communist first, he is Jew, and he is fleeing from France to Germany just for a little opportunity to go to his country and fight for it. Just think about it. You will read it. You will see it. Of course, he used fake name, Smile Era, that he is Muslim, so they cannot check that he is Jew. And at the end, he managed to flee from Germany, from Hitler, and to came to Yugoslavia. And he fighted from 1941 to the end of the war, in every major battle. He was progressing, and at the end of war, he became a lieutenant. After becoming a lieutenant, he went to military school, because in Yugoslavia, it is okay that you fight it in the war, but you cannot be a general if you don't go to school. So they put him in the school in Moscow. He returned, became a general, and one of the most important figures in our military.
Yeah. Very interesting. I like the way you structured the book. There's something that you said at the beginning about the bibliography. And for me, the first part, that is more an introduction to the Civil War, it's really even interesting for Spaniards, because it gives the perspective of non-Spaniards. So this is for me like a very interesting point. In fact, at first I thought, oof, how are you going to do that without reading all the bibliography that is in Spain? But I think that this is the value of the book, that it's not our perspective, it's the perspective of people who are abroad and who are telling our history. So this is the first part that I found like really interesting. The second part is the bibliographies, but there's another part that I like, and it's the fact that you found like important books that they wrote between, because among those 40 people, there were like many of them, they were writing books, which is something also like something. So the testimonies of these people that you are reflecting, because you are making you practically resume every book that they were writing. What would you say that it's more interesting, or what did they feel here? What were their general feelings or specific feelings about the battles they were in, or the things that they were doing, or what was the general impression of this war?
Yes. Of course, I said that I was extracting important things from their books. So from 10 people that survived, half of them was writing books of some articles about their Spanish experience. So I was, of course, finding every book, not only in Serbia, in other parts, Amudena was helping me with books from other countries. And at the end we...
Because there were a time when they were first publishing it in New York, and you know, like this is also interesting that, of course, in that time they couldn't in Switzerland too.
Yes. So I will highlight a couple of them. First of them, of course, Otto Bihari. You will read about him and his book. His book is Spania between between death and birth. Yes, he was participating in war, but he was not just a writer behind the lines. He was participating in the front line with the guns. So he was writing a book about Spain immediately. It was firstly published in 1938 in Switzerland, and after that it was publishing in New York, London, and at the end in 1946 in Yugoslavia, because before that there it was under censor. So basically he was writing something like, maybe I can compare him with Hemingway, something like that. Probably like Hemingway or like Bloch from France. He was writing such a beautiful things about your country and get perception between his first visit in Spain in 1932 and his visiting Spain in 1936. So it was like disastrous changes. Of course. Second, that I wanted to highlight is Velimir Drexler. He was not important before the war, but after the war he became very important figure in media. He was chief of one of most important newspapers and televisions in former Yugoslavia. And he wrote the book Memories of One Spaniard, Spanish Fighter. And he was writing a very important part that like put some perspective in my brain. He was wounded, I think in Ebro, yes, in Ebro he was wounded. And he get to the hospital, of course, they healed his wound, but he didn't move his hand, so his hand start to be dead, atrophy, yes. And he write it about this time. I will, of course, paraphrase. I knew that I can be wounded by coming in Spain. I knew that I could be dead by coming in Spain, like most of my friends died. But still, I was like very rational man, decide to come and to fight for the freedom. This is the end of the sentences. Of course, one of the doctors from Yugoslavia, Jews too, Braina Rudin Foss, managed to save his arm, but his arm were particularly dead in that moment. So he just chose to lose his arm and to came back to front if it is necessary.
I almost forgot about him. So in the last part that or at least for me it was particularly interesting. It's about the memory of the brigadist that you already told about a bit, but can you develop a bit like what happened with the memory of these brigadists later?
Yes, this last part of the book is dedicated to the memory of Interbrigadist, Yugoslav Interbrigadist, between 1945 and nowadays. It is of course one of my personal contribution, because in my museum we are very dedicated to this part, to memoria. Of course, you can understand why. And I started to research memorial policy in Yugoslavia between Second World War and nowadays, and I realized two major thing. One major thing, it is like from 1945 to 1990, it is like uprising. They were very popular, they were getting medals, important jobs in the community, in the state, in the army. The streets are given a name of them. All around Yugoslavia, there were like monuments dedicated to their participation in Spanish War. Conferences in every 5 or 10 years, big conferences, not only for Yugoslavian people, from interbrigadists for like, 20, 30, 50 countries. From Spania, Ibaruri came to Yugoslavia in 1970s. Negrin came to Spania in 1956. This was his last visit to some country. He died like a couple of weeks
To Belgrade.
Yes, he came to Belgrade to conference. And to open the monument dedicated to Spanish fighters, and after a couple of weeks he died. So basically it was very, very developed memoria. But with starting of decay of Yugoslavia, it started to decay these memorial practices, of course. And for example, 1996, 2006 and 2016, it was major struggle, and of course, like pillars of memoria became first cultural institution from Serbia, Association of Spanish Fighters, with support, of course, of Institute Cervantes and Embassy of Spain. But I put in another perspective, in contrast with Spain. And of course, you know better than me that Spain has like a decay of memory, of course, because of Franco time. And after Franco's death, it started to uprising slowly in 1980s and faster in 1990s and nowadays. So basically, we're like dissonant. There is difference between our memories, and one of the points of my research is to get it closer, so we can collaborate it in that manner.
Well, in a way, it's like getting closer again, like we were during the Civil War, and that brings me, now that we are at the end of the book, again at the beginning, because you start saying, and you were like telling us before that you're an expert on Second World War. But of course, you see, like, our war that we are now calling not more civil anymore, and you're not calling it civil anymore in the book either. It's about how it was like a prelude of the Second World War.
Yes, Spanish Civil War. If you read any book in Serbia, ex-Yugoslavia, or whenever, you will find Spanish Civil War. And it is okay to some particular extent. It was civil war, of course. Two parties, two parts of Spain, two values, everything. That is okay. But we cannot neglect that Hitler and Mussolini participated heavily. It was not like helping Franco and generals. It was real participation. Just remember of Guadalajara. Republicans managed, with help of interbrigadists, to defeat Italians directly. Before Guadalajara, Italians were very proud of their army. Mussolini was so proud of the army in front of Hitler. And after Guadalajara, Hitler realized that Italians are not best fighters. And starting of decay between their relationship in the military, of course, discourse, started with Guadalajara. Abyssinia, not so much. it was easy to fight with Abyssinians who don't possess like real weapons. They possess like guns from 90 centuries and arrows even. But with like organized Republican army, with like ideals that came with Interbrigadists, it was very difficult for Mussolini army to fight. And at the end, we, like historians, always we are always liking to make like wider. So, if we call this war just civil war, we will shrink it. If we call it war, it will include civil part, but it will include fight of the totalitaristic systems like fascism and Nazism, and people who came from other parts of the world to fight with that. So this is the reason why I think that Spanish war is a better solution for this war.
Thank you, Nicola. And another point that now that we have the book, and I think that you're contributing to this last chapter with your own contribution, let's say, to memory about them. You made a great research, but I think that one thing that I think it's like, or at least I appreciate it, maybe it's because I'm also very emotional, but what I appreciated, for example, in the opening of the exhibition, Nicola, is that all of a sudden there were like many grandchildren from these fighters that you managed to find, that it was not easy. And it was very touching to see them, how they were like crying or even embracing you and things like that. Is there any particular person you want to... Because I know that even if you're not showing, I'm pretty sure that you were also very touched by that.
Yes, it was really a reward to get that kind of embrace by the kids, grandsons, and sons and daughters of some Interbrigadists. It was very funny. In sometimes when we started to talk about their fathers, their grandfathers, many of them told me that they didn't know this part of their history, because you must understand, they were like very hard men, you know, for the men. They were very hard men. They didn't talk about their Spanish experience. They didn't talk about what they did in the war. They just be silent about that. So when I published the book, I just... made explosion of information that even their children and grandchildren didn't know. And it was very, very, very pleasurable thing to see when they started to reading their biographies and realizing some important parts. You know, because they knew them like their father or their grandfather, like polite guy, and they're realizing that he participated like young man in some of the most dangerous thing. And of course, this is very important. I must tell that I coming, of course, from Serbia, one of the countries that were always in the right side of the history. Basically, our country, of course, like Spania, were always fighting for freedom. So in 19th century, we were fighting with the Ottoman Empire like whole century to gain our freedom. And when we finally gained the freedom, we supposed to succumb to other empire, to Austro-Hungarian Empire. Starting with First World War was because, of course, Gavrilo Princip, but still, it was because we were heavily pressured from Austro-Hungarian Empire. We never succumbed to pressure of great empires. We used to say no to great emperors if we think that our side is right. So in 1941, we said no to Hitler. And then everything started for our country. And we are always fighting for freedom, not only for us, for freedom of others. And this is one of the biggest examples. So in nowadays, when we are witnesses that totalitarian ideologies are again gaining publicity, you can see already that some forms of Nazism and fascism are uprising again, and it is evidence that we are not evolving in our mindset, because some of people that we know starting to support this kind of neglecting barbarized ideologies. It is my, of course, task to fight with them, and I think this book is one of the pillars of that. I'm showing 40 people that were like very endangered by the totalitaristic system. They didn't succumb, they started to fight, and at the end most of them died, but some of them survived and building our past.
I like that point, because it's true that at least the common people usually think that Jewish people were just going to the concentration camps like going to the slaughter, like little lambs who were not saying anything, and this is the proof that that's not that was not the case at all. Nicola, through all your research, you already or maybe it's more me, but I think that you already found new lines that that yourself or other historians could start to research. Not this year, because we want you to survive and keep on sleeping, but maybe next year, what would you suggest that it would be like a good line of research in the field of the Brigadists? Because for us, it's as you said, it's next year is the big anniversary of the beginning of the war, the also the anniversary of the International Brigades. What other books do you see there?
Of course, we already have a bigger big history books. Your experts and our experts are doing that. So we should focus on micro histories, histories of common people like this, to revive memories of them, because they are not just individuals, they're like part of bigger picture. By realizing their lives, we are realizing values that are important for us today. So basically, I would suggest that we can do other micro histories. One of them, of course, are about women from Yugoslavia who participated in Spanish War. As you can see by biographies of nine of them who are from Jewish background, that they are very capable, they were all in the hospitals, and they take care about wounded people, saving lives of enormous number of men. But still, I will suggest that we can focus in next year about doctors and medical people from Yugoslavia that participated in war. It can be good. So we can take another perspective, from people with the guns to people who are saving people's lives. I think that it can be very useful.
But you know that this will be recorded, no? I will have the proof.
Yes.
So you will have to make it. Okay, Nicola, so thank you very much for your talk.
Thank you.
And you're very welcome always to Spain.
Sí, 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 sí. Perdona.
perdóname, yo ya me iba.
Espera, que tenemos otro. Quédate tú este. Bueno, empezamos con este.
Está la señora.
Sí. Buenas tardes. Quería hacerle dos preguntas. La primera es, ¿en qué se podía diferenciar un brigadista internacional judío de un brigadista internacional, obviamente, que no fuera la religión? Si tenían una forma diferente de comportarse, en fin, si había características en los brigadistas judíos que no los había en los otros. Vale, y la segunda pregunta es porque he leído que justamente por aquello de que intentaban agruparse todos los judíos que había en una brigada, etcétera, he leído que incluso en la brigada 12 se creó un batallón que se llamó el batallón Bodwin, que era únicamente de judíos y tenían actividades culturales, tenían hasta periódico. Y no sé si puede comentarnos esto.
Se explica muy bien en nuestra exposición anterior.
Ah, sí.
For the second question, of course, there was of course one Jewish brigade that is forming during Spanish War, and they're doing important thing in the war. They were participating in major battles, but I must admit that no one from my brigadist didn't participate in this brigade. They were separated by the country from which they come, and these people were participating in a couple of brigades, Yugoslavian brigades or East European brigades. One of them is Đuro Đaković, particularly Yugoslavian. Second one is Georgi Dimitrov, Bulgarians, Yugoslavians, and Czechoslovakians. And there was a couple of others, but in smaller amount of people that were with participating Jews. For the first question about what is the difference between Jews and other people, I must tell you nothing. Basically, only thing that they consider themselves as a Jew. This is important thing for me, so I can list them as a Jew. But in their times, all of them were using fake names. So their comrades from the war didn't just think about anything from their religion. Religion was separate. They didn't have any benefits or any difficulties. So it was like objective participation. Most of them were very popular in their brigades because they're gaining that popularity with their deeds.
Soy una persona con un problema cardíaco. Lo que no quiero en este momento es capitalizar. La gente que preguntamos, yo he venido hoy desde el Pirineo español arriba, en Jaca, en coche, para verle a usted, para escucharle a usted. Cuando la gente hablamos, para usted que queremos, yo no quiero ningún reconocimiento. Lo que me gustaría es tener aquí a mi madre, que estuvo con los brigadistas, y le habló desde la emoción. Lo primero, usted sabe, y creo que lo sabe, tenemos un cementerio en el distrito de Fuencarral de Madrid capital, en el cual, creo que usted lo conoce, mi decepción grande cuando vengo a esta casa, que vengo, o venía antes más, ahora ya menos, por la cuestión de los problemas que tenía. Y yo he dicho a la gente que fueran a ver el monumento que hay a las brigadas internacionales, donde están también enterrados lo que mi madre les llamaba los balcánicos, porque era muy difícil para una mujer madrileña, que es un libro abierto y que ha muerto, diferenciar, y se les llamaba los rusos, creyendo que todo el mundo era ruso, lo cual era, los historiadores ahí están errados, porque algunos han cogido, han pensado que todos los brigadistas eran rusos. Esto es absurdo. Yo he vivido en Suiza y soy profesional de sanidad. Ahora se ha descubierto, yo he publicado en dos congresos en los cuales se ha descubierto la cantidad de médicos, enfermeras, especialistas, radiólogos, farmacéuticos, veterinarios, judíos y no judíos. Usted ha dicho una cosa muy importante: la inmensa mayoría tenían el nombre cambiado, con lo cual cuando yo he hecho investigación me he dado cuenta, cuando he ido a ese pequeño pueblo de la Alsacia, o he ido, me acuerdo en el año, creo que es 79, yo voy a Sarajevo antes de la catástrofe que hay en Sarajevo, y me recibe un señor con una, me estoy extendiendo mucho y tengo miedo, pero es importante que usted lo entienda y que usted capte, porque en el pueblo todavía quedamos los hijos y los nietos, que los podemos encontrar en Belchite, nos podemos encontrar en Brunete, nos podemos encontrar en la Sierra de Madrid, y es muy emocionante. Uno de los problemas que hay para los investigadores jóvenes es que a mí hay veces me da vergüenza ver en una universidad centroeuropea como historiadores españoles, doctores que quieren un doctorado, cuando el tema de la Guerra Civil Española, yo no quiero hablar de política. Mi familia era republicana, lo reconozco. Defendíamos la libertad, defendíamos los derechos, las brigadas internacionales, no hubo, no fueron, como usted muy bien ha dicho, muchos comunistas o todos comunistas. No es verdad. Había muchos que eran anarquistas, que eran republicanos, es más, hasta había cristianos y coptos que venían aquí, que creían. Cuando yo he estado en Israel y he hablado Safer, he tenido el gusto en el año 92 de hablar con algunos de los pocos supervivientes de la brigada judía, o de los judíos, le estoy hablando de judíos antes de la emigración, de la gran emigración, que participaron en las brigadas. Pero también hay una cosa que es desconocida totalmente: las brigadas internacionales como la balcánica, la 216, Brodny, en que evidentemente hablaban o en croata, en serbio-croata, o hablaban, pero tenían un periódico que estaba editado con letras judías en hebreo, como
era el idioma común,
comprende, que entre ellos se entendían perfectamente. Le digo esto desde la emoción porque es muy importante. Yo no doy ya consejos a nadie, y los consejos que me dan a mí generalmente no los escucho. Uno de los problemas de mi país en este momento es que hemos olvidado. Yo no quiero ni hablar de la izquierda ni de la derecha. He encontrado perversos en un lado y perversos en otro. Yo soy republicano, no dejaré nunca de serlo, como era mi abuelo y familiares que estuvieron en unidades, como es en el Ebro, y estuvieron con judíos. Y hay gente en mi familia que se llama, en reconocimiento, Samuel, Rebeca, Ezequiel. Porque se vivió una época tan importante que muchas veces no queda reflejado. En ese pequeño cementerio, en la fiesta de Hanukkah o en la fiesta de Yom Kippur, me gustaría ver a muchos de los judíos que vienen aquí. Yo me he ofertado. ¿Sabe usted cuántas veces ha venido gente conmigo? 4. Sin embargo, gente que han estado sin estar informados, muchas veces han venido allí y me han contado cosas muy importantes. Luego, la aportación sanitaria que se hace en la Guerra Civil Española es la gran ignorada. Aquí hay programas. Yo he traído un libro que me han negado que no existía. Norman Bethuner no fue judío, pero el doctor Norman Bethuner, al lado del puente de los franceses, es el primer transfusor en sangre que se hace. No Joder ni Trueta, que fue un gran traumatólogo, pero él fue el primero que se hace con plasma y por problemas que hay con el servicio de inteligencia, se tiene que ir a China, donde muere. Esta publicación existe, porque el otro día en una dijeron que qué es esto de que se había publicado, Norman Bethune. La historia de la Guerra Civil Española es inmensa. Yo me callo porque hay gente que tiene que hablar. Pero el problema, a algunos no les gusta que todavía quedamos gente que no hemos muerto. Y yo pretendo que mis hijos o mis sobrinos o los estudiantes de historia sepan verdaderamente la realidad de la Guerra Civil Española. Se aportó mucho y se aportó una cosa importante. Como me dijo una enfermera que su familia había venido y en Brunete, en el mes de junio de este año, se arrodilló en la tierra. Y yo le llegué a un sitio donde, porque están enterrados en muchas fosas, lleno de fosas, Belchite, esta idea de que se tiene cementerio conocido, la gente no conoció, 40.000 muertos, Brunete, pero, sí, 40-45.000, pero Ebro ahora se está reconociendo entre los dos bandos 65.000 muertos. Quiere decirse que hay cientos, miles, vinieron a luchar por la libertad. Yo le doy a usted las gracias de su condición de historiador. No he abierto el libro porque si no me pongo a leerlo y no lo escucho. Señor, muchísimas gracias. Gracias por estar aquí y por hablar algo importante de lo que existió en este país. Se luchó por la libertad.
I must tell you first, thank you. Because if you are talking with a historian from some other country, any other European country, probably they cannot understand deep suffering of your people. We can. We are from Serbia and we can. We have same particular tragedies in our modern history. And we know very good what does it mean to have a national tragedy. And I am thinking that with traumatic times, like for your history is Spanish War, worst thing that you can do, like nation, is to not talk about it, to be silent about it. It is like some individual tragedy. If you are silent about your tragedy, you will suffer, 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 and at the end you will explode. It is same thing with national tragedies. We must talk about it. It is like something ecological memoria. Memoria that is based first on historical scientific research, not by some people saying, some politician saying this, some politician say that. No, let researchers to do their work. After they did their work, you can make narrative that is like scientific and that is true. After that, we can talk about other forms of culture, of course. But first, we must take our research to do the groundwork. Second thing, why this is very important. Work of individuals like you, like me. We are not doing that for myself or for yourself. You know your truth. I know my truth. I know what happened. We are doing firstly for the children. Because, of course, it is very common thing, history is mother of learning. Historia est mater studiorum. History can teach us very much. By studying past, we can determine some things in nowadays and to predict something in the future. So this thing that we are doing all together here, we are showing first that we are reasonable people, that we have reason in our heads, that we acknowledge this suffering and that by acknowledging it and talking about it, we can use it for better world. Because children are coming, they're becoming, they will finish their schools, high schools, faculties, they will become important members of our societies, and they will build their future and our future. So this thing that we are doing together here is just one small pieces of the puzzle. And thank you for that. Yes?
He leído que en el Levante, en Murcia, en Valencia, había hospitales específicos para las brigadas internacionales. Vale, y luego, y la segunda pregunta es, yo estoy muy interesada en los brigadistas que vinieron de Palestina. ¿Me puede comentar algo? Porque ya sé que usted es para Yugoslavia, pero no sé, ¿hicieron algo especial? ¿Sabe usted algo de este tema? Gracias.
About hospitals, of course, about hospitals through the Spain, you will read in my book, there was one guy, doctor, Josef Hauptmann. He was important figure and in war, before war, and after the war. And he wrote a text, I think in 1976, about hospitals and medicine in international brigades. And he is giving a specific thing about every hospital. So firstly, it started by coming of contingents of doctors and medical people to Spain. This is how it started. But government realized in a couple of months after, I think, between end of the 1936 and starting on 1937, that it must be under government rule and that it must be in the hospitals. So they managed to make like tens and tens of big hospitals only for international brigades to separate them from the other parts of the Spaniel people. And one of the biggest is in Murcia, other is Valencia, Benicàssim, most of them were in the Mediterranean Sea between Valencia and Barcelona. And all of the Jewish interbrigadists from medical people, doctors and nurses were in this particular hospitals. Couple of them were chiefs of these hospitals. Second question about people from Palestine who came. I know that they came. There is one book. You can even find it, I think, in Jewish library. Yes, online you can find it. That listed every Jewish person from every country. Of course, in comparison with my book, it is not that number of interbrigadists. They have less than me. But still, they have enough. So you can manage to find particular information about that. From Yugoslavian perspective, Zionism between two world wars were very strong, but still, in Palestine came in these 20 years just 1% of the Jewish community, just 1%. Everyone else stayed in Yugoslavia, and sadly, most of them died during Holocaust.
Hola, buenas tardes a todos. ¿Eso funciona, no?
Sí.
Sí. Buenas tardes a todos. Yo soy la embajadora de Serbia. En primer lugar, yo quiero agradecer a nuestros anfitriones aquí y especialmente a nuestro Nicola. Yo creo que este tema es muy importante, especialmente teniendo en cuenta de que nuestros dos países tienen una historia de las relaciones diplomáticas bastante larga, pero no tenemos muchos vínculos históricos, y eso es un libro que es muy importante para presentar nuestros vínculos en este ámbito. Y quiero añadir algo muy interesante y muy importante en este momento. Nicola mencionó dos aniversarios muy importantes el año que viene, pero yo quiero añadir un aniversario muy importante para nosotros, para nuestros dos países, 110 años de nuestras relaciones diplomáticas, del establecimiento de nuestras relaciones diplomáticas. Yo creo que su contribución en este ámbito puede ser muy muy grande, especialmente porque el papel y la contribución de Serbia en la historia mundial no es tan conocido aquí, y el trabajo y la contribución de las personas como usted son muy importantes para acercar nuestros dos países en esta. Muchísimas gracias.
Vale. Hola, buenas tardes y enhorabuena por el libro. Tengo curiosidad por saber si en esta gran investigación que has hecho has descubierto algunos judíos o yugoslavos en general que tomaran la otra opción de alistarse en el ejército franquista o en el ejército nacional. Gracias. Gracias.
It is not very well known thing. Because, of course, after Second World War, people who participated in Republic side was winner in Second World War in Yugoslavia. But, as I said in the beginning, Yugoslavia had many problems with Ustashas from Croatia. And, to be honest, during Second World War, they made 3 genocide in a couple of years. Holocaust against Jews, Samudaripen against Roma, and by the number biggest genocide against Serbs in the independent state of Croatia. You cannot imagine which extent of suffering was during these 3 or 4 years. I will just tell one thing. Jasenovac was one lager that can be like put in line with Auschwitz, Mauthausen, and other big places of suffering during Second World War. But instead of gas chambers, in Jasenovac, people were killed mainly by sharp knives, by pickaxes, by hammers, like thousands and thousands of people coming and dying, Serbs, Jews and Roma. At the start of the war, there is like a couple of hundreds of Ustashas. They were firstly in Italy under Mussolini protection. And one part of them were participating in Spanish War. They're not that very much. Of course, they hide their identities. But still, first military experience that they used, of course, in Second World War against unarmed civilians, they gained in Spain.
Just not to finish with this said thing. I'm also wanted to say to the ambassador that we are also celebrating, I think, 50 years of our relationships. So next year it will be 2027. Ah, it will be 2027. So exactly, it will be 2027. So we are working with the Spanish embassy in Belgrade to make another book about the relationships between Spain and Serbia. So we are pretty close now, right now with everything. So thank you very much. Muchas gracias a todos.